them jingle songs.
And welcome, everybody, to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely Christmas, pre-Christmas week, I guess. And I hope all your online shopping is going very well and your in-person shopping as well, though I suspect you're doing less of that. Anyway, also hope you can spare us an hour of your very valuable time tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So we're hoping that you can call in and participate. I always recommend that you call early in the show. We do get a little bit crowded sometimes toward the end, and we'd like to get as many calls in as possible. So please call in as early as you can if you have a question for us. I realize some of you want to hear our questions and then call in with an answer. But if you do have a question in mind, call in early, please. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free. Yes, we still have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. In case you were wondering, that was Mr. Thomas Fatswaller and his rhythm from 1935, I think, doing Jingle Bells, strangely enough. And, okay, just to remind you also that our email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that it is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral one. So again, that's mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. We love to hear from you via email, except we don't read them during the show generally. So, but feel free to get in touch about any old thing you want to. I make many mistakes, and I'm sure if you want to call me on that, that's fine too. So again, that's mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. If you would like to hear the show in a live stream, all you have to do is go to kalw.org. Again, that is kalw.org. And of course, since Debbie's here, the podcast will be up and done well, and that will also be at kalw.org after the show. It'll be a lot of other places as well, but start with KALW. They like you when you do that. So, okay. I will be joined on Zoom tonight by Cameron Shaw and Lori Fisher. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Hello. Good. Good. Hey. All right. Very good. So we're going to start with the round of introductions. And here's the first. Cameron Shaw has prepared a question for tonight that has made her feel so unhip, she may have to start wearing socks with her sandals and yelling at local teenagers to get off her lawn. Stay tuned.
You're old enough to be able to do that now. It's great.
I don't actually have a lawn, though, so that presents a problem. All right.
It's a metaphorical lawn. You'll be fine.
It is.
But you're a teacher, so you're used to yelling at people.
Yeah.
Well, I try not to yell. All right. Like all of us who are lost in time, Lori Fisher was uncertain whether today was the day of Lords a-leapin', Swans a-swimmin', or Drummers drummin'. He needn't have worried. He's a week early. The partridge in a pear tree clock doesn't start until Friday.
Yeah, I always mess that up.
Confusing.
Yeah, it is. And with a nod to Judy Garland, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, will try to have himself a merry and certainly little Christmas this year.
All right. That is us. And we will begin the questioning with our special panelist tonight, Cameron Shaw.
Okay. Well, here is the question that made me feel very unhip. at the end, you can tell me if you know which part made me feel unhip. I am looking for the Forbes magazine's top 10 list of highest paid dead celebrities in 2020. They are, I will tell you, they are all men. So I'm also looking for the top ranked woman who comes in at number 13.
Well, first of all, the fact that you were reading Forbes is pretty on hip. So
there you go.
So, yeah.
Oh, is it that you didn't know some of these people? Was that what made you on hip?
There is one that I had never heard of and had to turn to a friend to tell me about.
Okay, so you want all 10. You want to start on the table?
All 10.
And a top woman.
Well, we'll each attempt two. How about that?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. All right. Yes. Okay.
I think my top choice would be Elvis.
Elvis is number 5. Excellent. Okay. Right. $23 million.
Well, I would be foolish not to guess Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson is number 1 with $48 million.
There you go.
I'm going to guess the top woman is Marilyn Monroe.
Ooh, you got it. Nice job.
All right. Very good.
Okay.
Believe it or not, I have a friend whose son-in-law, his entire job, he's the legal representation for dead celebrities, and that's what he does, is represent them. So I know a little bit about, he doesn't represent any of those, but it's really odd. Sorry, but Dana, well, you have one more.
No, I'll save my guess for later, and I'll let the audience guess on some of these.
It's a great question.
Why don't you repeat the question?
Okay, I have the Forbes magazine list of the top 10 highest paid dead celebrities. We already have Michael Jackson at number 1 and Elvis Presley at number 5. I'm looking for the other 8. And then I'm also looking. And then Lori got the top ranked woman, who is Marilyn Monroe, at number 13.
All right. And Lori, go ahead.
All right. Well, this question is partly inspired by Dana's choice for the new theme song today, playing the Fats Waller Jingle Bells, is one of, believe it or not, 89,680 versions of that song. So what I'm looking for, I'm excluding the top 3 because you'd run the table. Silent Night, White Christmas, and Jingle Bells are the most recorded Christmas songs. I'm both talking about ones about Christmas and the holiday season of all time. I want to get the next 7, okay? And they all have more than 54,000 different recordings. So Silent Night, White Christmas, and Jingle Bells are off the table. What are the next 7?
Well, the Santa Claus is Coming to Town must be one. Okay.
That is number 5. Very good. With 68,000 versions.
Give you something and, better how about Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas?
That's the next one on the list. 65,000.
All right.
Very good. Awesome. Cameron, you want one or two? I'll say it again. I missed it.
I'm sorry. Somehow I got muted. I don't.
All right. That's all right. That's all right.
Santa Baby is what I was trying to guess.
It's a much better song than any on this list, but it's a hard one to record, so it's not. It does not have 50.
That was for somebody so unhip. That was a surprisingly hip answer. There you go.
Very hip. You've already regained all the hipness you think
you
lost.
Thank you. All right. Well, I will mull that over then.
So. Okay. All right. Lori, so why don't you for ask the
After the top 3, Silent Night, White Christmas, and Jingle Bells, I'm looking for the 7 most recorded holiday or Christmas songs. And Dana got Santa Claus is Coming to Town and Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. I'm looking for 5 others to complete the list.
Yeah. I might as well. I'll pass along a guess from Debbie, which is the Little Drummer Boy.
No, Little Drummer Boy is not in the top 15.
Oh, famous no. David Bowie, Bing Crosby.
Yeah, it's not on. It's 15th on the list, so it doesn't count. No bell.
No
sorry,
well.
Deb.
That's all right. And all right, I'll guess Holly Jolly Christmas too.
Holly Jolly Christmas is not in the top 15.
Oh, so. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
How about? Can I guess one more? Sorry.
You can, definitely.
How about Deck the Halls?
Deck the Halls, surprisingly, is not in the top 15 either.
So wait a minute. Just to be clear, these are pop songs, not carols.
No, some of them are actually good old Christmas songs that you'd hear in church. Most of them are pop songs, but not all of them is what I'd say on the list. It combines them all. I think the pop ones are the ones that get the most recordings.
Well, you said Silent Night already, right?
Yeah, Silent Night's number 1 by far, 137,000 different recordings, which is astounding.
Is Paul Schaefer's version of Cher singing Oh Holy Night on there?
Well, it should be. It should be number 1.
That was the highlight. That was one of the highlights of my Christmas season every year. Watching Matt and
Christmas Baby Please Come Home, The Darling Love. Yeah, two very big highlights. Yeah, I listened to it today.
All right, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Bob in Berkeley.
Hi, Bob.
I have a guest on the highest paid dead people, John Lennon.
John Lennon is number 9. Excellent. There you go. $13 million this year.
Okay, and Grandma got run over by the reindeer.
Reindeer, yeah.
You know, I don't. It's not on the list. I don't think a lot of people have chosen to record it. I'm not sure. Okay. Certainly not 55,000.
How about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Also, let me check. Just off the list, it would be the next one on the list. You get a bell anyway. Give him a bell.
Okay.
Only 49,000 versions.
Have you done most popular names lately?
Yes, it comes up every so often. What did you have in mind?
Okay, I was wondering the question is, what are the most popular boys and girls names top five for 2019, which is the latest reported?
Is Jacob still on the list?
Yeah, Jacob was on there for a long time. I'll say Sophia as well. Sophia was on there for a while.
Sophia's number 4 for women.
Okay.
And is Jacob on the list?
Jacob is no longer in there.
Oh.
Ooh.
Sorry, Jake.
Yeah. How about Olivia or Isabel?
Oh, very good. Yes.
Both of those. Isabella.
Nice. Isabella.
And Emma, is Emma on there?
Emma is, and the last female name that you haven't gotten yet begins with A.
Is it Annie?
Or Abigail?
Ariel?
3 letters.
Amy.
Ava.
Ava, yes.
Ava, really? Wow.
Making a comeback. So we don't have any of the boys.
None of the boys yet.
How about Noah?
Noah's one.
Yes. I do recall asking a question that there were a lot of biblical names in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
There's one other biblical name beginning with E.
Ebenezer.
Ezekiel.
Ezekiel.
Think of Mr. Manning, the quarterback.
Eli.
Wow.
Okay. Elijah.
Good job.
How about Elijah? How about Henry?
No, the ones you haven't gotten yet begin with L, O, and W.
How about Liam and Owen?
Very good.
Liam is correct.
Nice.
All right, fill in the rest for us.
Oh, Oliver.
Oliver and Think Royal for William. Oops, I do have a question for you.
All right.
What is nonsensical about the Hitchcock title North by Northwest?
What is nonsensical about it? Well, it's from Hamlet. The title's from
Is it a non-existent Hamlet. Direction on a compass?
No.
It does not exist on the compass. The closest you get is Northwest by North.
Oh,
but that doesn't scan as nicely.
No, I suppose
sure
not.
Sure doesn't.
Thank you very much.
Hey, you're welcome.
All right. Good night. And okay, let me give you a couple questions here. Lori, I'm going to recuse you from this first question just on the off chance that you may have read something about this. So I will.
Well, I will recuse myself. That's true. But go ahead. I feel recused.
All right. So these 6 flavors are all flavors of what? Okay, so I am looking for the answer. It is a food. They are all, obviously, they're all flavors of what food? Number 1, cherry cola. Number 2, pina colada. Number 3, watermelon. Number 4, fruit punch. Number 5, Swedish fish. Number 6, kettle corn. These are all flavors of what food? Number 1, cherry cola. Number 2, pina colada. Number 3, watermelon. Number 4, fruit punch. Number 5, Swedish fish. Number 6, kettle corn. All right, Cameron.
Okay, I'm going to guess jelly beans.
That's a perfectly logical, good guess, but is not true.
That's what Debbie guessed, too. And I am recused. I did read this. So,
all right.
Cameron, you get my guess that I don't have.
Okay. Is this a snack food?
Yes.
You say?
Yes.
Okay. And is it something that you would buy in like a regular grocery store, or is it limited to like, say,
no, you would buy it in a regular grocery store.
Okay. Ice cream.
No. Okay. So again, these are all flavors of what food? Number one, cherry cola. Number two, pina colada. Number three, watermelon. Number four, fruit punch. Number five, Swedish fish. Number six, kettle corn. All right. Next question. I have a list from Good Housekeeping, which is, of course, my Bible, as everybody knows. And they did a poll last year, and this is sort of a variation, although not much of one, to be honest with you, of a question I enjoy asking at Christmas time. The least favorite food served mostly at Christmas, okay? So these are the eight least favorite foods served mostly at Christmas. One or two of them can be served at other times of the year, mostly Thanksgiving, but generally these are more Christmassy foods. So again, from Good Housekeeping, these are the eight least favorite foods served mostly at Christmas. I will give you each one guess.
I'm going to go with my least favorite, which is jellied cranberries.
I'm going to give that to you. It's cranberry sauce from a can.
Well, that's what I was literally thinking.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So there you go.
You don't have to condescend on that one. I think I got it.
All right.
Okay. How about haggis?
Well,
such a good guess.
As unhip as you are, no, it's not haggis. No. That's a pretty hip answer, I must say.
I think Cameron's showing her Scottish roots somewhere.
I guess she is, actually. Yeah. But no, not haggis. Although I suppose if haggis was widely served at Christmas time in the United States, it might well be on this list. So
if people ate it more, they'd hate it more. I think that's the general.
Yeah, I have had haggis, and it's... it's not horrible, but it's not to my taste. So
now Debbie has a guess. Should I give you Debbie's guess?
All right.
She has, I'll give her the first one. She has a few creamed onions.
No.
Oh.
Not creamed onions. So I will take one more.
Her next one is mince pie.
No, because again, it's like haggis in that mince pie is not really, these are very widely found foods at Christmas time. Mince pie. Yeah, I mean, it turns up, but it's not widely found.
Yeah.
So again, from Good Housekeeping, these are from a survey they did. These are the eight least favorite foods served mostly at Christmas. Okay. And so far we have cranberry sauce from a can. And the first question was, these are all flavors of what food? And we have cherry cola, pina colada, watermelon, fruit punch, Swedish fish, and kettle corn.
Oh, can I guess one more on that, or should I leave it?
On which one?
On the Swedish fish one.
No, I think I'm going to hold off on that because there's only a single answer. So if you destroy it, that's it. If you get it right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Seed. So Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Thank you.
Okay, so my question is about the story of nativity and the three wise men. They saw the star of nativity. So tomorrow, the first day in the winter, we're going to have something very similar, the conjunction of two of the biggest planets in the solar system. Do you know which ones? Tomorrow night. You can see them tomorrow night. They'll be very visible.
Okay.
Which two planets that seem to be the star? All right, which two planets?
The star of Bethlehem.
Say it again.
I believe one is Jupiter, correct?
Okay,
Saturn.
Good.
And Saturn.
And Saturn. Very good. Yeah. So that is the star of Bethlehem.
Night.
Okay,
tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, look at it, and it is great. History probably is the same. The last time that happened was 800 years ago. Wow. It seemed that the Star of Bethlehem at the biblical time was 7 BC. That is, you know, over 2,020 years ago and so on.
It's going to be in the southwest sky, isn't that right, Yid?
I know, I really didn't check sky? It, but yeah, just check your, yeah, it, so. It should be. It'll be a beautiful scene. It's also great history. What does the word Bethlehem mean?
What does it mean?
It has something to do with food.
Does it?
I'll give you the answer because I have another short question after that. Believe it or not, in Arabic it means the house of bread. In Hebrew, house of bread. In Hebrew, it's a house of meat. What a big difference. You know, those guys, they never agree about anything. You know, whether meat or bread. You know? All right. My second question also is kind of interesting about the Bible as well. This biblical man was the father of two sons. One was named Moab, and the other one named Ben-Ami. Moab and Ben-Ami, he was their father. But naughty, he was also the grandfather. Who is the man? Who is this prophet? The prophet is in Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, of course. Who was he? Who was their father and grandfather?
It's not Noah, is it?
No.
No, that was Shem. Shem
no.
Curly.
Right.
Remember the story?
Yeah. Is this Jacob, by any chance?
No. Remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah?
Oh, right.
Right.
My favorite story in the Bible.
Beautiful history. Yeah.
Right.
With your father and grandfather at the same time. Naughty.
Yes.
A good time.
So, is it...
They got drunk. And it's left
is it
with
Lot?
His. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Is he Lot. The one with the, that sketchy relationship?
Yes. So the two sisters.
Yeah. Stuart Granger
our,
in the movie.
Yeah, our father getting advanced in age. Yes. They saw the whole earth was ended and they needed to bring new generation. So his two sons were Ben-Ami and Moab. Thank you. Always a good show.
Thank you, Ed.
Merry Christmas.
Merry
Thank
Christmas.
You.
Happy
Bye-bye.
Holidays.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And it was Stuart Granger, by the way. I can't remember who played his wife, the one that turned into a pillar of salt.
It's a tough job.
Yeah.
It really is.
It was some Italian actress. Yeah. Anyway, you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call if you have a question or answer. We've thrown out a couple of questions for you already, and those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Our panel tonight, that would be Cameron Shaw, teacher and cinematographer. And, of course, Lori Fisher, who teaches at Diablo Valley College. Well, he doesn't actually go in. He just does it over a computer. And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. All right. Cameron, I think it's your turn.
Okay. There are five categories in which you can get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. They are live performance, television, motion pictures, recording, and radio. And there is one person to have a star in all five categories.
Oh. Is it Who Gene is Autry?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I knew you guys would know that.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have even asked.
But it shows how hip you are.
I'm so hip. I know all about Gene Autry.
I'm still shaking from Bethlehem meaning house of meat.
House of corned beef, I think, specifically.
Brings back a lot of pleasant memories.
Yeah. Cameron, you must have another question.
All right. Why was Dolly the sheep named Dolly?
Oh. Does something to do with Dolly Parton by any chance?
It does, but what does it have to do with Dolly Parton?
Oh.
Whoa.
Well, it's something to do with her physical attributes.
Yes.
Okay. That wasn't too difficult a thing to figure out.
No, not too difficult.
Is that the whole answer, or do you want something more?
No, there's a specific reason regarding her famous physical attributes.
Okay.
Dana, I'm leaving this one to you.
I'm leaving that out there. I have the utmost respect for Dolly Parton's talent.
Me too.
Me too.
And
is the answer irreverent? Is the answer okay, or is it kind of irreverent?
It's a little irreverent, but it's not inappropriate.
Okay. Would she wouldn't mind it, huh?
No, I think she embraces things like
good.
That.
Yeah, she does. She's terrific.
All right, leave it out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, Big Radul in the Cardinals.
Hi, Big Radul.
So I wanted to take a guess at dead celebrities. How about Jimi Hendrix?
No, not Jimi Hendrix, surprisingly.
Oh. Okay, I have a couple Hollywood questions. I have a character actor I'm thinking of who appeared in 652 films. And in those films, there were 8 Oscar winners and 9 Oscar nominated movies.
Big Radul, that's your questions are very hard, but this is too hard. So you got to give me more to go on than this.
We're supposed to get the 16 films that he was in that had Oscars in them?
Well, I wasn't going to ask for that. I thought that would be too difficult.
Oh, okay.
You're right.
So what are you asking?
I'm just asking for the name of the actor.
Oh, okay. Well, this is not. Yeah. Would this person have a major roles, or were they more of a small?
No, it was small. They were small roles.
Small.
Is this person well known?
We're not talking about like Best Flowers or like the Queen of the Extras kind of thing, are we?
No. This guy. I mean, the guy. I think he's been like his roles have gone from almost being an extra to being a substantial character actor in the movie.
Well, I mean, Walter Brennan.
That's who I was thinking.
Would qualify on that level. But it's not.
He's too mainstream.
Too mainstream? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like John Carradine, Alan Hale, Thomas Mitchell. I mean, people like that were in a lot of movies and who won a lot of awards. But none of those, I take it.
Okay, I'll go ahead and give it to you because it's kind of out there. Franklin Farnham.
Oh, okay. Well, Franklin Farnham was actually a major star in the teens. In when I say the teens, I mean the silent pictures. And then his brother Dustin was probably a bigger star. But yes, he Cecil B. DeMille used him in just about every film he ever made. So he does show up in a lot of stuff.
You know, Dana, when I originally read about this fellow in IMDb, they indicated he wasn't related to Dustin.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought they were brothers. Oh, okay.
I don't believe so. I think Dustin had another brother, but I don't believe Franklin was related to them.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time I was wrong about things, something like this, so... Okay, good. Thank you for correcting me.
I had one other one about two actors, John Loder and Arthur Shields.
Right.
Had a couple things in common. One is that they appeared in three movies, in the same three movies. Can you name those movies?
So they appeared in the same three movies? You mean and were these movies, they were not the obviously the stars of these movies.
Right. But they were kind of principal characters.
Right. And so these were Hollywood films.
Correct.
John Loder came to Hollywood in 39 or 40. And so he was working during the war. And so was this a World War II era?
Yes. I believe all three were World War II.
Oh, brother. So, can you name me anybody else in any of these films?
Errol Flynn was in one of them.
I do not know.
Well, John Loder was at Warner Brothers. And, if I had more time, I would figure this out, I think. But I don't want to take too much time to do it. No, keep going. Give me the person in the next film. or one person?
Well, I believe John Ford directed one of them.
Did he direct the Errol Flynn film?
No.
Not The Long Voyage Home. And, oh, yeah, How Green Was My Valley is one.
Right. You got that one. Okay. So now you're down to two. One of which is an Errol Flynn movie.
Yeah. Oh, Gentleman Jim.
You got it.
All right.
So there's nice. Only one left. Yeah, see?
Wow.
All right, you got to give me somebody in the movie.
This movie I don't know that well. It's not that it's not inconsequential. I've never seen it.
Is it some B film like Mysterious Doctor or the something, you know?
I don't believe so. Okay. I believe
so. You don't know anybody else in the film?
No.
You better just give it to me then.
Confirm or deny?
Oh, that's Don Ameche and Joan Bennett. Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Impressive.
And one last one, if I could. They had those two, John Loder and Arthur Shields, had something else in common, that it was an event they were involved with.
Really? Oh, gosh. Yeah. I don't know if I would know that. I know Arthur Shields' brother was Barry Fitzgerald. No, I couldn't tell you that.
Okay. Well, they were on opposite sides, if that helps at all.
Oh, in the Irish, in the English-Irish conflict?
The Troubles?
In the Troubles?
Easter Rising of 1916.
Ah, okay.
John Loder was a lieutenant in the British Army, and Arthur Shields was a member of the Irish Republicans.
Oh. Well, thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
All right. And Merry Christmas.
Talk to you again soon. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. And Lori, go ahead. Your turn.
Yeah. This question comes from one of our favorite audience members, Sue Schweik, also my wife. And Dana, you might be recused. You'll tell me right away if this is a little too easy in your wheelhouse, but we'll see. This is about the 1966 Christmas special, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. So I want to know who voiced the Grinch. I want to know who is the uncredited vocalist for "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch," who sang it. And then what other role is that uncredited person famous for? So I'm looking for who voiced the Grinch and How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Who's the uncredited vocalist for "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch"? And what more famous role did he play?
Okay. Not a problem.
Okay. And I'm looking for Cameron. Is it you know all of those, right, Dana?
Probably.
Well, take one guess.
No. That's all right. Leave it out.
Well, let Cameron. She's going to be in on one.
I believe that Vincent Price voiced the Grinch.
He did not.
No, he did something in that movie. So did he do the other thing?
No, he did not do. As far as I know, he didn't do either of those things. At least not in that verse.
If you were just a little less hip, you might have gotten that.
I know. It's really causing a problem.
It's right next door to Vincent Price, like right around the corner. Yeah. Take a left turn, and you'll get to this person.
They knew each other. Let's put it that way.
Okay, so I'm mixing him up with somebody.
Right. Yeah, I think so. So we're looking for the voice of the Grinch, the uncredited vocalist for "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch," had a very deep voice. And then what other more famous role did the uncredited vocalist have? And that's, we'll leave it out. Unless, Dana, do you want to take one of them?
No, I'm fine. And okay. Speaking of which, we're a little past halfway, so let's repeat. You don't have to repeat that, but let's repeat any other questions that haven't been answered yet. Cameron, we'll start with you.
Okay. I have a list of the Forbes magazine highest paid dead celebrities in 2020. I am looking for 7 of them. We already have Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley, and John Lennon. And then I am also wondering why Dolly the Sheep was named Dolly. And Dana and Lori have deduced that it has something to do with Dolly Parton.
And I want one more guess on the dead celebrities. Is one of them James Dean?
No.
Oh, all right. Then it's a bad guess. My open question is, I'm looking for the most recorded holiday and Christmas songs of all time. And Silent Night, White Christmas, and Jingle Bells were the giveaways. We have Santa Claus is Coming to Town and Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. I'm looking for 5 more to complete the list.
Can I guess one more on that?
Yes.
How about Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow?
That is the last one on the list with 54,000 version. Give her a bell. Very nice.
Okay. Creepy one. Okay.
4 more to go.
Yeah. Is somebody I'll start with Lori. Are you wearing a bracelet?
I'm not.
Cameron, are you wearing a bracelet?
No, I have a watch. I don't think it makes noise,
though. Okay. No, I don't know. Like,
you're hearing a clinking?
It's not terrible, but it's just something that
huh.
I guess is all right. And okay. Yes, I have to repeat my questions, too. So these are all flavors of what food? Cherry cola, pina colada, watermelon, fruit punch, Swedish fish, and kettle corn. They're all flavors of what commonly known food? And according to Good Housekeeping, who did a poll on this, these are the eight least favorite foods served mostly at Christmas. So again, these are the eight least favorite foods served mostly at Christmas. So far we have canned cranberry sauce, but that's it. I'm surprised at that.
Can I take one more guess at those?
That's yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to guess green bean casserole.
No.
Oh, I was...
No?
No.
Uh-uh.
Oh.
Huh. That's more of a... If I had to like bet on it, I would say that's more of a Thanksgiving thing. But
well, I've seen it turn up, and I've seen people make fun of it. It has cream of mushroom.
Well, I've seen ham turn up at your house. So.
And it's not on the most hated list.
No.
It's in the house of meat, as I recall.
All right. And before we go back to the calls, I'm going to give you my question here. So we all know A Christmas Carol, of course, the story by Charles Dickens. And it's a relatively short – it's like a long, short story, but it's really not that long. There aren't that many characters in it, but of course everybody knows Scrooge and Bob Cratchit and that horrible little Tiny Tim. So, I'm going to give you, what a nice little Tiny Tim. So I'm going to give you five characters that are less well known in A Christmas Carol, and I want you to tell me who they are. In other words, what their relationship is in the story. So again, these are lesser known characters from A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. So, I'll give you each one guess. So the first one, number one is Belle, Belle. Number two is Fred, Fred. Number three is Fan. I do not know if this is short for Fanny, but the character is known as Fan. So it's F-A-N. Number four is Mr. Fezziwig. And number five is Dick Wilkins. So again, these are lesser known characters from the Charles Dickens A Christmas Carol. I want you to tell me what their role is in the story, okay? So number one is Belle. Number two is Fred. Number three is Fan. Number four is Mr. Fezziwig. And number five is Dick Wilkins. I'll give you each one guess.
Go ahead, Kim.
Okay, I believe Belle is she Scrooge's former fiance? Is that?
Yes, I don't think I can get much better than that. She was engaged to Scrooge until he fell in love with money.
And then they cut her song from the Muppet Christmas Carol because it's a bad song.
All right, I wasn't thinking about that version of it, but okay.
That's why I
That'll
know.
Serve. It's good enough.
Well, that was the only one I knew for sure. No, that's fine. Is Mr. Fezziwig, I picture him being an upbeat character. Is he the one that when they finally dance, he's like leads the band or has something to do that's musical?
No, can't quite. No, you're sort of kind of a little bit there, but not enough.
Okay, that's the only one I have a shot at.
All right. So again, these are lesser characters from A Christmas Carol. Belle, whose song was cut, according to Cameron. And the ones we have left are Fred, Fan, which may be short for Fanny, but I don't know, Mr. Fezziwig, and Dick Wilkins. What are their roles in the story A Christmas Carol? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Was Dolly the Sheep was cloned from... Cells from another sheep's teat?
Yes, I was going to use the phrase mammary gland, but yes.
Oh, I make sure you didn't misunderstand me.
Yes, okay. That is why she was named Dolly. Good job.
Tony the Tiger was also the same guy. He died a few years ago.
Very nice. Do you remember his name?
I forgot his name.
Okay, so we'll leave that out there. So the answer to the question is, what other famous role did the guy who sang "You're a Mean One," Mr. Grinch? And it's Tony the Tiger from Kellogg's. Great,
Tony the Tiger. Oh, here, I got to follow up. What does Bethlehem have in common with Anaheim?
They're both houses of meat?
Yeah, house of meat.
No. Hem is Hebrew for home. What's Anaheim?
Well, Anaheim is the largest city in the United States with a German name.
Yes. So Heim is German for home. But yes. what's Anna mean?
Animal home?
Anaheim. Something home.
Anna's home.
Something year. Does it have Anna's to do with house. Annual? Yearly home?
No,
something?
You don't know your geography. You're out there. I'm in Florida.
True.
I understand it means home on. Should I tell you?
Yeah.
Home on the Santa Ana River.
Oh. All right.
Okay. I can live with that.
From hem to home. Okay. I like the archaic words that you only hear this time of year. Deck the halls. What does deck mean?
Well,
okay. The festoon, right?
Yeah. Decorate. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And how about hark the herald angels sing? What does hark mean?
It means listen.
Listen up.
Okay, that's no big deal. But contrasting those two, which is a Christmas carol?
Which is a Christmas carol? Oh, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It's not? Deck the Halls.
Deck the Halls.
No. Deck the Halls. You got to realize carol is related to choral. So if you can imagine Christmas carolers, they would go fa-la-la-la-la-la. Yeah. In fact, they said fa la 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 because anyone could sing along. Basically, you didn't have to read. You didn't anyway. But the other one is a hymn, and that's not a Christmas carol.
Right.
Nice. So the other thing I was going to say, one last thing. What's the song? Now it's fallen out of my mind. Santa Claus. What's the one?
Santa Claus
it's
is coming
Christmas
to town.
Song. Oh, here's the word. Dew point. Do you know what a dew point is?
It's the point where the dew occurs.
Yes. It's a combination of a certain humidity, certain barometric pressure, whatever. And what's the Christmas song that mentions dew? No. Excuse me, fog. And then one foggy Christmas Eve.
Oh, Santa came Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah.
Right. So, in fact, it's barometrically impossible because at Christmas there would be no fog in the Arctic because the dew point, the temperature's too cold. There is fog in the Arctic, but the temperature has to be enough to start evaporating. You can't have fog in the Arctic. It's too cold
in
the winter.
You're quite a killer of these things, aren't you?
I'm just trying to ruin all the fun here.
Apparently.
Yeah. Oh, you have all the good weather in Florida. That's the problem.
Yeah, so there is no fog in winter in the North, in the Arctic. But real quick, another thing. Come Dancer, come Dasher, come Prancer, come Vixen, come Comet, Cupid, Donner and Blitzen.
Yes.
That was written by Clement Moore. He wrote
Twas
the Night Before Christmas, right?
Yes.
Now, how can people say the most famous reindeer of all, Rudolph? How did the man who wrote the story leave out the most famous reindeer of all?
Rudolph was made up by a publicist for Montgomery Ward's.
You got it.
Yes.
Everybody knows these are the... That'll really ruin Christmas. Don't tell me he was the most famous. How could the guy who wrote this story leave out the most famous reindeer? I mean, come on.
Anyway, thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, Dana, it's Megan in San Francisco.
Megan, you're falling behind. You're way, you used to be.
Listen, I've been in the queue.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
First of all, happy holidays to all of you. Thanks for doing the show before Christmas. Glad we could all get some holiday cheer.
Anything that gets me out of the house, Megan, is I'm happy to do.
I'm right there with you, Dana. Yeah. I have a couple guesses for you on the dead celebrity, the highest paid dead celebrities. How about Prince?
Prince is number 10, yes.
Oh, very good. Yeah.
Nice. And Frank Sinatra.
No, Frank Sinatra is not on there. There is one more musician, but it's not Frank Sinatra.
How about Chuck Berry?
Nope.
All right, I got one at least. On the least favorite food served at Christmas, how about fruitcake?
Yeah, of course.
Classic.
Absolutely.
And the flavors, the random list of flavors of what food, is that Lifesavers?
That's an excellent guess, but no, it is not Lifesavers.
No?
No.
Okay. I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
What state was home to both the world's tallest snowman and then the world's tallest snow woman, which was actually in the Guinness Book of Records for tallest snow person until earlier this year, which it was bested by a snowman in Austria. But since 2008, it had held the record for world's tallest snow person.
Are these ice sculptures or just real snow? Because I know the reason I ask about ice sculptures is that Minnesota has a big industry in that. So is it by any chance Minnesota?
Nope, it's true snow people.
Authentic snow people.
Yeah, right.
How about Alaska?
Not Alaska.
This isn't a tricky question, like they imported the snow down to Arizona or something. Is it one of
no, it's not a trick question. It might not be. It might not come to your mind originally. I'll give you a backup fact. I don't know if this helps, but the state is also home to the most moose in the contiguous 48.
That's not a tremendous help, but
moose.
Moose.
I'll go with Montana.
I was thinking that too, yeah.
Not Montana.
We're close?
How about Wyoming?
Nope. Actually, it's sort of the moose fact kind of was a false lead because actually think east of the Mississippi River.
Oh.
So the moose is a red herring.
Oh, Michigan.
That's a very complicated.
How about Michigan?
It's not Michigan, but getting closer. Keep going east.
New Hampshire.
Very close, Cameron. So hot right now.
Oh, Maine.
Maine.
It is Maine. Yes,
yeah.
Maine.
Cool.
Really?
That's where all the red herring are.
Yeah, they get
well.
A lot of snow up there. All right.
That's all I got for you guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Megan. Merry Christmas.
You too. Have a good night.
All right. And if you want to give us a call, we still have a few minutes left in the show. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. And if you guys don't mind, unless you have somebody has a very short question, I'll keep taking calls.
I have a real short one.
All right, go ahead.
And it's that the National Bobblehead Hall of Fame, which also has a gift shop, somebody broke the record this year for the most bobbleheads ever sold in a year. Who is it?
Like, this is the person who the bobblehead is made of?
It is.
Okay.
It's a representation of this person.
Right.
Donald Trump.
No.
Okay.
Where is the Bobblehead Hall of Fame?
It is in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Is this a sports-related answer?
It's not. So I might throw you a sports thing, but this isn't it. So, in fact, most bobbleheads are sports figures. This isn't at all a sports figure.
Yeah, okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in California.
Hi, Tom.
Is the bobblehead, is it Katharine Hepburn?
It's not Katharine Hepburn.
Good guess.
Thanks.
She's not popular enough now. This person's alive and popular.
I was going to say Franklin Barnum.
He's second.
The house of meat.
The voice of the Grinch, did that get guessed?
Not yet.
No.
That Boris Karloff, right?
It was Boris Karloff. Thank you.
That's who I was thinking of.
That's who. That's not Vincent Price, but very close. So
very close.
We're just missing your mean one, Mr. Grinch. Great.
Let's see, some of the Christmas songs. How about the chestnuts roasting on an open fire?
That's the top of the list with 80,000 versions. Number four all time. Got another one?
Silver Bells?
No. And that's 12th on the list.
I think I've heard about 50,000 versions on SiriusXM.
Really?
Yeah.
There's 48,000 versions of Silver Bells, yeah.
Frosty the Snowman?
Not Frosty.
I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus.
You probably did, but she's not on the list.
12 Days of Christmas?
Also not on the list, not in the top 50.
Oh, Tannenbaum?
No Christmas tree, nope.
No, shoot. Okay, that's enough of that. Dickens, I wonder if it would be short for Fanny, because I know in the UK that
probably is. It probably
kind of a vulgar word, though. That's why British people don't call them fanny packs, because that's kind of vulgar, believe it or not. But, okay, Mr. Fezziwig, I don't remember who. Mr. Fezziwig was the boss, the Scrooge's boss, when he was
correct
a kid, right?
Yes, he was his good-natured, generous boss. Yes. Good.
Okay. And then, let's see, the dead celebrities. How about Paul Newman?
Nope, not Paul Newman. Great guess, though. There is one
who's... All right. Gabby Hayes. No. The
just
potatoes, the flavors of things, cherry cola, pina colada, watermelon. That's not a soda, is it? Shasta soda?
No.
Something like? No? Potato chips? Probably
nope.
Not.
Nope.
Okay, least favorite Christmas time foods. How about goose?
No.
Gingerbread?
No.
All right. And I think that's all I got. Related to Dana's question last week about the TV detectives with single word title shows.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a few actors. How about Barry Newman? Or Kate Mulgrew or Rainier Wolfcastle?
Kate Mulgrew she was Mrs. Columbo.
There you go. Yeah. Very good. But didn't quite match the category.
Stewart. Yeah, close.
Don't remember Barry Newman.
I remember Barry Newman. I don't remember.
I mean, I do remember Barry Newman, the actor, but I don't remember the name of the show.
Petrocelli.
Oh, okay, right. What was the other one?
Rainier Wolfcastle.
That I don't know.
Which is actually he's a fictional actor in The Simpsons.
Oh, okay.
That's
was the the Arnold Schwarzenegger type actor who plays McBain.
Oh, right.
TV show in The Simpsons.
Right.
Okay, great show as always.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
You
Thanks.
Too.
Adios.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Yeah, this is Kurt in San Francisco.
Hi, Kurt.
And I've got a question about Christmas songs in keeping with the theme tonight.
Great.
Okay, I've got a list of five singers or groups who first popularized songs that are they're standards today. None of these are obscure. You could hear them at any time this week. All of them were recorded in mid-20th century. So of the five, there are three soloists, a duo, and a group. In addition, one of these soloists or groups gets credit for actually two Christmas songs. So you get two bells, actually, if you can name both the Christmas songs. So here goes. Richard Himber. Bing Crosby and Carol Richards, that's the duo. The Harry Simeon Chorale, Bobby Helms, and Jimmy Boyd. Again, quickly, I know we're running out of time.
Jimmy Boyd was I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Richard Himber, Bing Crosby and Carol Richards. The Harry Simeon Chorale, Bobby Helms, and Jimmy Boyd.
So this is a mashup, right? Kind of, sort of. Kind of. Richard Himber.
Kurt, he got Jimmy Boyd right, right? Dana got that? I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
So what do you have for Jimmy Boyd?
I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Very good.
Richard Himber, gosh, he was a band leader in the 30s.
Is the Harry Simeon Chorale the little drummer boy?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
Della Knapp.
All right. I think I'm missing the thread of this question.
Kurt, is there a thread to the question?
Is there what?
Is there a thread other than, are the answers linked somehow? Is this a chain question of some kind?
No, I just want to know if you can link the names I read you with the songs that they popularized.
Okay.
So you've got Jimmy Boyd that I've heard so far and the Harry Simeon Chorale. I think we still have Richard Himber.
So the Harry Simeon Chorale is not a joke. It's not like the apes singing.
We have Bobby Helms, Bing Crosby, and Carol Richards, and Richard Himber, unless I missed you.
Yeah, no. Is it white?
Okay, Richard Himber, 1934. Bing Crosby and Carol Richards, 1950.
Oh, Richard Himber, 1934. That's Winter Wonderland.
Very good.
Is Bing Crosby White Christmas?
It must be White Christmas or Silent Night.
He's famous for that, but this was with Carol Richards.
Oh, okay. Gosh.
Cameron, did he hear it?
And Dana, this might help you out. The song first appeared in the movie The Lemon Drop Kid.
That's Silver Bells.
Very good. I think we still have Bobby Helms.
Yeah, I don't know.
57?
I don't think we...
He was a pop singer. I kind of remember him. I don't know, though.
He was early rock, wasn't he?
Think of the time and the music that was popular at that time.
Is that rock around, rocking around the Christmas tree?
Getting close.
Or Jingle Bell Rock?
Jingle Bell Rock.
There you go.
All right. There you go.
Really? I thought that was Bobby Rydell. No?
Yeah, right. Bobby Helms. Okay, I think that's it. Very good.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, I hate closing up when there are calls on the line, but I think we have to do it tonight because we got a lot of answers out there, and I want to finish with just a little bit of music. So, Cameron, what do you have?
Okay, I have a few of my highest paid dead celebrities of 2020. At number two, I have Dr. Seuss.
Ooh.
Number three is Charles Schulz. Oh. Number four is Arnold Palmer. Number six is Kobe Bryant. Number seven is Juice WRLD, who is the rapper that made me feel unhip. And number eight is Bob Marley. Those are the ones.
Lori.
Okay. The songs that we didn't have that are missing, Winter Wonderland, Joy to the World, and I'll Be Home for Christmas. The best-selling bobblehead of all time, especially this year, is Dr. Anthony Fauci. Which is nice. That's very sweet. And Dana, you can give us who is the uncredited vocalist for You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch.
Oh, I guess it's Thurl Ravenscroft, right?
It is. Yeah. Thurl Arthur Ravenscroft, of course. That's it for me.
Okay. And these are all flavors of what? Cherry Cola, Pina Colada, Watermelon, Fruit Punch, Swedish Fish, and Kettle Corn. Those are all flavors of Oreos.
Oreo cookies.
Oreos.
Yeah. Least favorite holiday foods, according to Good Housekeeping, fruitcake, ribbon candy. Did anybody ever eat that? Yule log, eggnog, jello mold, Brussels sprouts, cranberry sauce, and candy canes. The characters from A Christmas Carol, the lesser characters, Fred, that was Scrooge's nephew. Fan was Scrooge's sister. And Dick Wilkins was Scrooge's fellow apprentice at Mr. Fezziwig's. Just to remind you that I will be here next Sunday at 7 o'clock. So please join us then and have a wonderful holiday. As I say every year, according to Rousseau, please remember that there is no wisdom that is greater than kindness. So please share a little of that with other people over the holiday season. My thanks to Cameron Shaw, teacher and cinematographer. My thanks to Lori Fisher from Dabba Valley College. And my thanks to I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and thanks to Debbie Kennedy for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great holiday, everybody. And please join me next Sunday at 7. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Next year, all our troubles will be out of sight. Yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. Next year all our troubles will be miles away. again.